And for those who spend the night, they should get a free Bible.
I think we should make Bibles available to everyone, but I don't know how practical it is to actually give a Bible to everyone who stays at the shelter.
Well, we could buy a bunch of those inexpensive ones.
Yeah, you mean the kind that fall apart after you barely crack the binding?
Maybe we could get the Gideons to donate some.
That's a perfect idea, Helen.
We're starting a homeless shelter, not a hotel.
Okay, here's your hot water. We have an excellent selection of herbal teas, if I can interest you in that.
Oh, no, thank you. I've got my own right here.
Okay. Are you sure you don't want to order anything?
Oh, no. Tea and rolls is good for me. Thank
okay.
you.
And here's your soup, sir.
Thank you.
Can I get anybody anything else to drink besides water?
Nope.
Okay.
Excuse me, can we have some more rolls as well?
Okay, sure.
Thanks.
And some crackers, the buttery kind, but not the whole wheat buttery kind.
Okay.
I'm still waiting for that lemon for my water.
Okay, I'll bring it right away.
Thank you.
Okay, back to my Bible idea.
Mm-hmm. Pam, we want these people to know how much God loves them, but I just don't think we need to give them a Bible to do that.
Okay, well, what about some tracts?
Great idea.
That's good. Yes. Hey, how about this? Why don't we pray so Mark can get started on the soup here?
I'll do the honors.
Yes.
Lord, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to plan this wonderful outreach for those who are less fortunate among us. Bless
okay,
the
I
truth
have your...
which we're about to receive from your most gracious hand. You've been so kind to us, and we pray that we can return that kindness to the world around us. Open our eyes, Lord, to those around us who need our help.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Sorry.
Thank you.
All right. Blanket donations.
Yes.
How are they going?
Oh, they're going great. We actually received over 40 blankets so far, and most of them are in excellent condition, so we can cross that off our list.
That's great. That's good.
Oh, isn't that amazing when the whole church comes together on an effort like that?
Absolutely.
Excuse me, waitress. I specifically asked you not to include a garnish. I'm allergic to pickles.
And I love pickles.
Sorry. I put it on the check, but I guess the cook didn't see it.
Maybe you need to write it in capitals next time.
Would you like me to exchange it?
Oh, no. I'd be happy to take that. Thank you.
Sorry. Can I get anything for anybody else?
No. Oh, that's really good.
Do you mind some of that? Oh, sure. I'll cut you a piece.
Great, thanks.
Excuse me, waitress.
Yes?
There are water spots on my knife.
Would you like me to get you a new one?
Please.
I think someone woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
Really?
Remember that come tip time.
You know, I always say a waitress needs to earn her 10%.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Blankets are good. What about toys and games?
Well, more good news. People were really generous. We got 20 board games in good condition, and we got a carload of toys for any toddlers that show up.
Great.
Oh, no.
What?
I just realized it's 1:30, and I have to be at the church to open the doors for the food truck. You guys are going to have to help me unload everything and unpack.
I guess we'll have to eat our sandwiches on the run. Excuse me, waitress. Can we get three containers, please? Three containers?
No, four is right. I will have a container as well.
Okay.
Four of them, please. Thanks. You guys don't mind eating the car, right?
No.
Right,
fine.
Sorry about that.
I can save these for later.
Is everything all right?
Oh, yeah. We just realized we have to leave.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
Check. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. All right. Check. Let's see. I had the sandwich.
How much is it?
It's $15.57.
I had the special.
Oh, and she did not charge me for my hot water, I hope.
Oh, geez. We better check the math.
You know what? Excuse me. Tea. Can we have four checks, please? Four?
Just make that three because I didn't order anything.
You know what, guys? I will take care of this one.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thank you.
confess.
Gosh, I could have known that. I would have ordered something.
You know what? I have this great tract. It's perfect for just this type of situation. Oh. I'll leave this.
Good.
What a great witness.
Great idea. Well, hey, we really should get going, guys, because I got to get to the church.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, get moving.
Okay, I'll be right there.
Okay.
15:57. Oh, she doesn't need this. I'll just keep that.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Oh, man, no tip. What's this? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. Submit your life to God's Son, and you'll have a great eternity. Well, I sure hope it's not eternity with them.
So how do you think that team was doing at making a difference for Christ? Sometimes I'm convinced that we're our own worst enemies when it comes to proclaiming Christ and sharing Christ. Instead of building bridges for the gospel, we end up building barriers for the gospel. But my premise this morning is, if you genuinely know Jesus Christ and you have peace and joy that comes from having your sins forgiven, you desire for others to know the true and the living God through Christ as well. But yet some of us struggle with, well, how do I make a difference for Christ? How do I help others come to know the true and the living God through Christ like I know Him? What does that look like? How do I go about that? That's what we want to look at this morning, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. I want to encourage you to turn there. We are 1 week away from concluding our series throughout this fall through the book of Colossians. And Paul is giving some final instructions to the believers here in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Specifically, Paul is speaking about how you and I can make a difference for Christ. Follow along as I read, beginning in verse 2 of Colossians chapter 4. Paul says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains." Verse 4, Paul says, "Pray that I may proclaim it as clearly as I should." And then he tells the believers of Colossae, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Paul lays out the game plan, the formula, so to speak, for making a difference for Christ. And look at how he begins in verse 2. He says, "Devote yourselves to prayer." What does it mean to devote yourselves to prayer? Being watchful, being thankful. Paul, in each of his letters to the various churches, always spoke to them and challenged them in regards to prayer. Look at what he said to the believers of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and 1 Thessalonians 5:17. These verses help unpack what Paul intended with the phrase, "Devote yourselves to prayer." He says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions," not just on some occasions, not just when you're in trouble, but on all occasions, "with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, be watchful, and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Not sometimes, not most of the time, but all of the times, keep on praying for the Lord's people." And then 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray continually." I believe the King James translates that, "Pray without ceasing." Always be praying. So when Paul was challenging the believers of Colossae to be devoted to prayer, this is what he was talking about. Be praying continually. This does not mean we should walk around muttering prayers under our breath all day long. Rather, it means we should be constantly in fellowship with God so that prayer is as normal as breathing. Listen to what John MacArthur says. He says, praying at all times is not necessarily limited to constant vocalization of prayers, but refers to a God consciousness that relates to every experience of our lives. The Bible teacher Theodore Epp says this, praying should be as natural for the believer as breathing. We don't even have to think about breathing. We do it automatically. So too, throughout the day, we should constantly be ready to talk to God about the various details of our lives. So we think about being devoted to prayer. I want you to picture walking with God, having a relationship with God, because that's what prayer is, talking with God, allowing Him to speak and minister to our hearts as well. When we get up in the morning, we should begin our days by talking to God, letting Him know what's on our hearts as we look at that day, as we go about our day. We're aware that He's always with us. He's experiencing all that we're experiencing. And so we can be communicating, praying, talking to Him throughout the day. When we get to the evening and we're unwinding, we crawl into bed. We can reflect on the day. We can talk to Him about our day. That's what it means to be devoted to prayer, to walk with God, to abide with Him, to commune with Him, to fellowship with Him. And so when Paul paints this picture in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, he's talking about having fellowship with God, walking with Him. He says, in addition to prayer, he says what? He says, be watchful. Many translations use the word be alert. My natural question is, what should we be alert for? What should we be watching for? He said just before that, be devoted to prayer. You and I need to be watching for how God is going to answer our prayers. We need to be watching for what God is doing around us. We need to be alert to what God wants to do in and through us each day. We need to be alert for temptations. Watching is part of the fellowship of walking with God and talking and communicating with Him. Six times in the book of Colossians, Paul instructs the believers at Colossae to be thankful. Being thankful is a natural outcome and outpouring of who Christ is and what He's done for us. That's the message of Colossians, right? Christ is supreme. Here's who He is. Here's what He's done for us. And the result is that we can be thankful regardless of our circumstances. So if you want to make a difference for Christ, don't make the goal making a difference for Christ. The goal each and every day is to walk with God, to have fellowship with Him, to be devoted to prayer, to be watchful, to be thankful. Think about what Jesus said when He called the disciples. Did He call the disciples and say, hey, come make a difference for me? He actually said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, go be fishers of men. He said, come follow me. Have a relationship with me. Walk with me. Get to know me. Get to know my heart. And the result is, I will make you fishers of men. The people that I know who are making a difference for Christ is it's flowing out of their walks with Christ. It's an overflow of their heart. It's the outpouring of their connection, their relationship with the true and the living God. Yesterday was a wonderful day here at Community Bible Church. We had Pastor One Day. I know many of you were part of it. In fact, if you weren't, let me just give you a snapshot. That was the group of the individuals before we got started. And we have another picture with some of the people going through and, quote, shopping. If you can have the next slide up there. But let me give you some background to Pass It On Day. About 7 years ago, Joyce Zimmerman comes to me. And she says, Jeff, she says, I've been working at the clothing bank, Clothing Because We Care down in Marietta. And she said, every month I come in contact with people who don't have anything. They don't even have the resources to buy clothing and coats for their children. And then she says, I go home, and she says, I honestly have too much stuff. I don't know where to put it all. I have more than what I need. And she says, as I look at my friends, I look at other individuals here at CBC, they're in the same boat. How can I bring these two worlds together? And out of that question came Pass It One Day. Joyce Zimmerman is a person who is making a difference for Christ. But it's an outflow of her ongoing walk with God. I enjoyed praying along with Joyce yesterday, just before 9 o'clock, and we opened up the doors. We had a prayer time. As Joyce prayed, she said, God, help us to be in tune to the work that you want to do in our hearts and lives today. Remind us that at the foot of the cross, the ground is even, that we're no better because we're giving than the people who are receiving. As Joyce prayed, you could tell that she walked with God, that she had a relationship with God, and it was out of that relationship with God that he was using her to make a difference. You want to make a difference? Be devoted to prayer. Be watchful. Be thankful. Prioritize your walk with God. Let's continue on. Paul says in verse 3, he says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it as clearly as I should. Think about this. Paul's in prison, and he tells the believers in this letter, pray for me. Now, I want you to think about this. If you're in prison, and you get to write a letter to some other Christians, and you said, here's what I want you to pray for me, what do you think would be at the top of your list? I know it would be the top of my list. Pray that I get out of this place. Right? Like, I don't want to be here. God must have fell asleep yesterday, okay? We need to, like, pray that he'll get us out of here. Pray that I get out of here soon. Nowhere in the book of Colossians do we see that that's his heart. He's embraced the place that God has placed him. And his prayer is, pray that I may proclaim the mysteries of Christ, that I may proclaim the gospel. The mystery is that all of mankind, not just Jews, can have a relationship with the living God through Christ. Pray that I may proclaim Christ. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul understood that it was not a coincidence that he was in prison. God was sovereign. God had placed him there, and God had placed him there for a reason, to proclaim Christ. Now you might think, well, who could Paul talk to about Christ? He was in prison. He was also chained to prison guards. How would you like to be one of those prison guards? But I find it interesting and significant that he says, pray that God would open the doors. See that visual picture? Because Paul knew that he couldn't stuff Jesus down their throat. He needed God to initiate that work in those individuals' hearts. He needed God to be convicting and drawing and preparing the heart, preparing the way. Did you ever try to talk to someone about Jesus when you didn't have an open door? Doesn't go real good. Sort of like trying to feed somebody when they're full. It's like, ah. So God said, or Paul said, pray that I would have an open door. Pray that God would prepare the way for me to talk about Christ. Not only the implication is with his prisoners that he's with, but he also knew that there was going to be an upcoming trial and that he would have an opportunity to proclaim the mysteries of Christ to individuals in that setting in Rome who would never have had the opportunity to hear the gospel. What if you and I began to pray, God, open the doors for me to proclaim Christ? What if all of us this week had that as the prayer of our heart? God, give me open doors to have spiritual conversations. Is that a prayer that aligns with God's word? Is it a prayer that aligns with God's heart? Absolutely. And then what's Paul say to do? He says, pray and then watch. Watch, wait, look for opportunities where God is going to answer that prayer. Be looking for that open door. Some of you are saying, I hope he doesn't answer that prayer. I'm not sure what I would say. Let me try to make it simple for you. If you know Christ, here's what you need to share. Share who Christ is. Share what he's done for you. Reference the cross. And share the difference that's made in your life. If you have a relationship with Christ, that's something that each one of us can do. Who Christ is, what he's done for us, and the difference that that makes in our life. If you look in your bulletins this morning, you're going to see a postcard, an invitation for this year's Christmas Eve service. Christmas is a great time for us here at Community Bible Church to proclaim Christ. We have placed this in the bulletins this morning, not as a reminder for you, but as an invitation for you to give to your family, friends, neighbors, co-workers. Think about who it is that you would like for God to begin to open a door for you to have a spiritual conversation with. Encourage them to come with you for the Christmas Eve service. We're going to be proclaiming Christ. We're going to be communicating the gospel. The missing piece to many people's lives, the missing piece to Christmas for many people is a relationship with Christ. This is an opportunity for you. If you begin to pray, God, open the doors for me to proclaim Christ, it is a prayer that God is going to answer in His time and in His way. I want to illustrate what it looks like in Keith and Sandy Brenner's life. Keith and Sandy, we have a picture of them. So if you're not familiar with the name, hopefully you can connect name with their faces. Keith is the chair of the elder team. He called me up a couple weeks ago, and he said, Jeff, he said, I really want you to pray for me the next couple of days. He says, because Sandy and I are going to go throughout our neighborhood, and we're going to invite all of our neighbors, everybody in our development. Keith and Sandy live like right up on top of Chickies outside of Columbia. He says, we're going to invite all of our neighbors to a Wednesday morning gospel reflection time where we're going to open up our Bibles and look at various passages from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so that we can interact and study together and learn together about who Christ is and what he said about being a follower of him. So I said, yeah, absolutely, I'll pray for you. So this past Wednesday, had the opportunity to catch up with Keith, and I said, so how's it going? He said, well, I said, we've only consistently really had two people, but one of those, he says, I'm really excited about it, is a neighbor. And he said, this neighbor man, he said, you know, we've said hi, over the fence kind of thing, walking by. He said, but this man is so hungry and thirsty for God and for the scriptures and for Christ. And he said he comes from a Catholic background, and this past week at the time to study the scriptures, he says to Keith, he says, you know, a lot of our, he said, you invited a lot of our neighbors, right? Yeah. He said, a lot of them are Catholic. And Keith's like, yeah, so what's your point? He says, well, I'm Catholic. And when us Catholics get an invitation from a Protestant to study the scriptures, we like automatically assume that you're trying to convert us to be a Protestant. And he says, but that's not what this has been about. He said, we have been studying the scriptures, looking at who Christ is. So then he tells Keith, he says, so I'm going to re-invite our Catholic neighbors. Keith's like, that'd be great. Keith also said, he said, Jeff, he said, there's two phone calls I got. He said, the one phone call was from a lady, and she began the phone conversation, are you the individual who's placed an invitation in our mailbox to study the scriptures and study the gospel or to read through the gospels? And he said, yes. And she says, well, can't come tomorrow, but I really want to come next Wednesday. And then she asked, she says, do you pray during those times? Keith's like, yeah, we usually open or close in prayer. And she went on to share what was heavy on her heart and asked Keith and Sandy to pray for her in that situation. A neighbor they never really had a heart-to-heart conversation with. And then there was a man who called up, began the same way, are you the individuals who put this invitation in our mailbox? Keith's like, yeah. And then this man says, well, my wife really wants to come. And they talked for a while. And at the end of the conversation, this man says to Keith, he said, would you be available to meet for lunch or for breakfast sometime? So God is opening doors as Keith and Sandy have been praying that God would open and prepare hearts. Here again, it's going to look different for each one of us, but that's what it looks like for Keith and Sandy. And make sure you catch this. Keith and Sandy walk with God. They pray. They watch. It's flowing out of their walk and relationship with God. And part of that prayer is that God would give them opportunities to proclaim Christ. Let's continue to move on. Verse 5, Paul says, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. The word outsiders is reference for those who are outside of our community of Christian fellowship, those who don't know Christ. What was Paul's prayer in Colossians chapter 1 for the believers? One of the things that he prayed for, he says, I pray that the gospel will bear fruit in your lives, that God will be able to use you to help others come to know God through Christ. And now as he ends the letter, he's giving them this instruction. He says, be wise, be careful, be prudent, be discerning on how you relate to those who don't know Christ. Think about this sort of Christian outreach planning community that we're at the restaurant. Great intentions, but were they building bridges to the gospel or building barriers to the gospel? Our conduct, how we live our lives, our attitudes, our work ethic, our actions will build bridges to the gospel or build barriers to the gospel. So Paul says to them, be wise, be smart, be careful. Recognize that non-believers are watching you. Yesterday morning, I was here from 8 o'clock to 9:30, went home, picked up my two boys, went over to Donegal High School for Youth Basketball Association, intramurals and basketball practice, and I'm helping to coach. We'll do that through February. You can bet that I better be wise in how I act, how I conduct myself in that setting. Because there's children, there's students, there's parents, there's other coaches who are watching. People that I know, who God's able to use to make a difference for Christ, are wise in their actions with non-believers. Paul goes on to say in verse 5, make the most of every opportunity. Paul wanted the Colossians to seize every opportunity to do good to those without Christ. He wanted them to take advantage of opportunities to love people, to serve people. Paul was challenging those believers to practice what he was doing. Paul was simply challenging them to follow his example. Paul was sitting in prison, right? When he was sitting in prison, it wasn't a waste of time. It was not something to be endured until he got out. It was not something to be discouraged or depressed about. Sitting in prison was an opportunity for Paul. Now, some of you are in some work situations that you'd rather not be in. You say, oh, I hate my job. Why do I got to get out of bed and go to my job? I don't really like the people I'm with. Think about this verse in context to your job, to the situation that you find yourself in. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, walk with God, be watchful. When you go to work, when you live your life, be open to the fact that God is going to give you opportunities. Opportunities to love and to serve and to reach out to these, quote, outsiders, these people who do not yet know Christ. Not just about going to work. It's not just about living our lives. It's about God giving us divine appointments Did you ever hear that phrase, divine appointment? What's a divine appointment? You walk away from a conversation and you know that it was not a coincidence. You know that that conversation, that interaction was ordained by God. Think about that. You and I get up every morning and we have an opportunity to be in ordained conversations and relationships that God is orchestrating all around us, people that he's convicting and drawing. And we need to seize the moment, take advantage of those opportunities, not just to talk, but to serve and to love. Verse 6, Paul says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." I want to look at this verse in reverse. "So that you may know how to answer everyone." That sounds intimidating. It's like, phew, I don't know all of the answers. How can that be true? But that's not what Paul was saying. He says, so that you may know how. How to answer everyone. How to respond to people individually. And how should we respond to every individual? He says in verse 6 there, full of grace, seasoned with salt. Salt does what? It adds flavor. Our conversation should benefit and bless those who listen. What kind of conversation will benefit and bless those who listen? Gracious conversation. To be full of grace is to speak words of affirmation, words of acceptance. Where does gracious conversation flow from? Jesus said it well. He said, out of our hearts, our mouths speak. What's in our hearts will be reflected in our conversations, will be reflected in our tones, will be reflected in our word choices. People will walk away from us and they will sense how we view them. They will be able to tell whether we appreciate them, whether we accept them. They will be able to sense whether we are self-righteous and look down on them. Here again, the context is in with outsiders, those who don't know Christ. Think about it. When people walk away who don't know Christ from interacting with you, what have they experienced? What's their perspective? When your conversation is full of grace, they will have experienced love and acceptance, not judgment, not condemnation. Grace-filled hearts and grace-filled conversations bridge, make a bridge for the gospel. So Paul was saying, be wise in your conduct, be gracious in your conversations, and take advantage of every opportunity. As you walk with God and as you pray for opportunity. See how that all fits together? It's not like a step process, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're all happening at all the time. Didn't get a chance to highlight this individual, but I'm going to in this service. Some of you might not recognize Steve, but you have seen his work if you've been part of the ministry here at Community Bible Church. He's the guy behind all of the videos that we've done over the past year, year and a half. As I thought about this passage, I could not help but think about Steve Strickler. Steve and I have become good friends over the past year and a half, 2 years. Steve is a man who just recently has started to walk with God. Fellowship with him, commune with him. He's experienced God's grace in his life. So he prays for opportunities and looks for opportunities to proclaim that same grace. He's wise in the way that he relates to non-believers that he spends time with all the time. He's the kind of person that God is using to make a difference. God doesn't want any of us to be like Steve. He doesn't want any of you to be like Jeff. Or Keith and Sandy, or Joyce Zimmerman. He wants you to be you. And he wants to shine through you in unique and personal and powerful ways. And he wants to use you to reach people specifically that he's chosen for you. And you say, well, Jeff, how does that happen? Right there, Colossians chapter 4, 2 through 6. Let's pray. Give you just a moment to quiet your hearts. What's God saying to you this morning? What's he whispering into your heart? How does this relate to your circumstances, your situation, your family, your work, your neighborhood? Lord, here we are. Lord, first and foremost, we want to thank you this morning for your grace in our lives. Lord, I pray that that would not just be words, but Lord, that we would grow in our understanding of how you bless us in ways that we don't deserve. And Lord, may we pour out, may the overflow of our walks with you, may that grace come out as we relate to those around us. Lord, we pray that you would give us opportunities to speak of you, to proclaim your name, to give testimony to your work in our lives. Pray that you would help us to be wise in our conduct and gracious in our conversations, making the most of every opportunity so that you can be lifted up and exalted in our lives and in our families and in our workplace. Lord, we're thankful that your Spirit lives and dwells within us. May you empower us to do what you've called us to in Colossians chapter 4. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I want to remind you, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, chapel service for Lynn Stone. Elders and some ladies are in the chapel this morning after the service if you want to go back there and to talk and to pray. And if you're new to Community Bible Church, I'd love to have the opportunity to greet you in the hospitality room. It's down the hall past the Welcome Center to your left. And if you can help take down chairs for those of you who are going to be able to do that, that would be appreciated. Lord bless you.